Channel One Right and beginning to visit Mr. Eastman, mostly Ms. Eastman and Mr. Eastman, this Sunday morning, the 4th of November, 73. Channel One Right and beginning to visit with Ms. Eastman, mostly, and Mr. Eastman on the other side, this Sunday, the 4th of November, 73. Channel One Right and the beginning of the visit with Ms. Eastman, mostly, and Mr. Eastman a little on the other side, this Sunday, the 4th of November, 73.
You know, I think about that place of yours down there, Ms. Eastman, where you are. You can look at it and you can see everything in the world that's going on.
Yeah.
Mhm. And you don't have to go anywhere much.
Well, I can't anyway very well because I have to be there, you know, in case the calls comes in.
Yeah.
And we do it. And then every once in a while somebody say, well, where was you? I tried to get you. You know, if I happen to be out of the house.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes when I'm doing my washing or I have to be outside for something or go to the post office or something like that, then it seems like then somebody will call. So I never know.
Why does he, Mr. Eastman just has more things than he can do?
He's loaded.
Oh, really?
Has been right along. But you see, what made it worse for him is that whole week that he was off, that he didn't work. And he had backlog as it was. Well, then more piling in all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and he's really behind. It's just, and then I turned down several jobs that people wanted him to do because I know it's just too much. And I've got so that if I can help it, I won't let him take any roof jobs.
Yes, I think that's... Mm-hmm. Well, you can pretty much... You can help.
I know putting near what he can do and what he can't do.
Uh-huh.
And then another thing, too, he's trying to avoid as much as he can is this having to crawl under the houses.
Uh-huh.
Once in a while, there's one that he gets into that he can't avoid, but... If he possibly can, he gets out of that and makes them get somebody else. But the trouble of it is, they can't get nobody that they can depend on.
I was just wondering, who around there can help other than Mr. Eastman?
There's others that could do it, but they don't do a decent job.
Uh-huh.
It's just a half a job, you know, and that don't go.
He doesn't have a helper, Mr. Eastman?
He might better do it himself. He's tried that. This helper business, you know, he has to end up by doing it himself anyway, so he might just as well do it in the first place.
Uh-huh.
Of course, once in a while, there's a job comes up that he has to have a little help with. Well, he's got a fella there that helps him. Of course, he's not too well a man himself, but whenever he does need an extra man, well, he generally gets him. But it isn't too often, but what most of the work art does it himself. But he's working over to Anthony right now, fixing up a bathroom for John Palmer.
Oh, really?
And he's been on that 2 days now, and he's got to go again Monday. And he isn't even sure if he'll get done Monday or not.
Is that one of Mr. Palmer's houses?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Art does all of Palmer's work like that. And
Palmer has a good many houses.
Well, I guess he owns but near half of Anthony. And then he's got a few places around Reddick.
Oh, really?
But it isn't too often that he has to go over there, but every once in a while something will pop up. There has been times that he was over there for over a week. But as a rule... When he works over there, well, he gets his dinner over there at the restaurant, but they've got the restaurant closed now. They're remodeling it or whatever they're doing to it. I don't know, but anyway, it's closed, so he comes clear home for his dinner.
It's
quite a drive.
Is there a restaurant? Where was that restaurant?
I think it's on 301.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
But it would be closer than coming clear
sure.
home, see? And they said there was one in Citra.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where it's at, but there's supposed to be one in Citra, but Saturday he came home for his dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what he'll do tomorrow.
And he's just working in the in this one in the bathroom.
As far as I know now, unless something else pops up that I don't know about right now. Day before yesterday, well, the first day he went over there, I didn't expect him home for dinner because I thought he'd be going to the restaurant. See, so I just happened to have a TV dinner left over in the deep freeze, so I went out and got that to fix for my dinner, and I'm just about half through eating. Here he come.
Oh.
And the restaurant was closed, and he didn't know it.
Well, I sometimes wonder what in the world would happen if Mr. Palmer didn't have somebody like Mr. Eastman to keep him.
Well, it isn't only him, it's everybody around there, McIntosh and Orange Lake both. They go just about nuts when they can't get a hold of him. We got them pretty well broke. They know that they've got to wait until he can get to them, unless it's an emergency.
Uh-huh.
You know, these emergencies, where then he tries to, he'll drop other things and go and take care of that. But other than that, they just have to wait until he can get to them, that's all. I tell him right out, but God, after all, he's an old man, and he can't take that pace like that. So they just got to be patient and wait until he can get to them.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't used to do that, but I do now.
Well, I sure am glad you do.
Because after all, I turned down a job yesterday. The party called in. And I told him, I said, he just can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's lucky he has you.
I have to use my judgment.
Uh-huh.
And he goes along with it as a rule.
Well, I was just thinking, there's so much coming and going in that place down there where you live. You see people. Is that place pretty full all the time?
The restaurant?
The park.
They've got permanent trailers in there mostly. There's not too many transients come in there, but once in a while there is.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the trailers that are in there, you see, that changed hands.
Oh, it did.
Yeah, McDougal, who used to be in there, he was no good, you know. And people come in there once, and that was it. They never come back. But after he sold out, and these people come in there. Things are different now. These people, they keep it cleaned up around there, and they keep things up, you know. They changed the name of the park and. Now they've got these people all in there, and they're permanent. That is, most of them are. Once in a while, maybe one will finally decide to move, go somewhere else. But most of them are staying right there.
They work other places, or they fish, or what?
These people?
Uh-huh.
No, most of them are workers, have a job someplace, but... Now, there's one couple that's living there. They work in Gainesville, him and her both. Of course, they expect to retire later on. And then there's several of them there that work in Ocala. But, in different areas that they
mm-hmm.
work, but they live there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way it's been. And all of those trailer parks around there are pretty well filled up, and most of them are permanent.
Well, I guess I was just wrong about it. I thought in that area they were just people who would come down from the north for a few months and fish.
No, well, there is some that do that, but the most of them, when they place a trailer, it's there permanent. Those big trailers.
Uh-huh.
Of course, the little trailers, they come and go. But, and now you see, they have one reservation right there, right across from us, from the house there. They keep that for transient trailers. They come in, like for overnight or for a week or something like that. Well, then they put them in there. But any permanent trailers, well, then they put them back.
Uh-huh. Well, that makes it better for you all, then. You don't have so much. He keeps it clean and...
Oh, yes. He keeps that cleaned up around there. It isn't messy like it was when that other fellow was in there. He wouldn't do nothing.
Oh.
But these people do. They keep it cleaned up and every other day or every second day, they go around and pick up the garbage and take it to the dump. And all that stuff. They don't leave nothing set around there. So it makes it a lot better that way. And they're more congenial. This other fellow, he was, oh, very disagreeable. Nobody could get along with him. But these people are odd.
Oh.
Very odd, but yet at the same time, they're nice, you know, and they congenial.
You mean they're
kind of an odd character. But she delivers the Ocala paper around there now. And he works down to the bus station in the Greyhound bus station in Ocala.
Oh, they do that. They do that in addition to the...
Yeah. And, well, they paid a long price for that place. And, of course, it's, you know, and they've got two girls going to school. Teenage girls going to school, see. And, of course, that's another expense they have. And,
Well, I guess that would be a pretty big expense. I mean, that part would... It cost...
Well, in a way, yes. In another way, no. Of course, they have the upkeep,
uh-huh.
You know. But most of the trailers, they have their own meters.
Oh.
But the only thing that they, of course, they have the water bill. Well, they don't have a water bill because they've got their own well. But the expense of keeping the pump and things up, you know, they've got that extra expense. And then they have the power bill for the transient trailers that comes in. That they pay.
Well, I guess...
But, then, of course, the taxes and so on.
I guess just that much land to put it on was expensive for them to buy.
It was. He took them. Don't ever
he did.
Think. 50, what was it? $50-some thousand, I think.
Ms. Eastman?
Yes. I just forget what it was.
Uh-huh.
It was $50-some thousand that they had to give for that.
And then
they had to, on top of that, they had to buy this double trailer to live in. Because you see, there's the four of them.
Uh-huh.
And that little building that they had, which is supposed to be the restrooms for the trailer park, they made it over into a living quarters and just reserved one restroom. It was supposed to be two in there, see. Well, they cut the one off and used that for in the living quarters there, and the other one for the trailers,
mm-hmm.
You know, for the transients that comes in there.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, that was too small to start with for that family.
Yeah.
And, of course, they'd been used to having a big house anyway to start with before they come down here. So then they bought this double trailer and set that in there, and that's what they're living in. But the only thing that we don't like, and if they said if they'd have known it, they would never have let it in there, but they didn't realize that big, long trailer right next to us there, that
mm-hmm.
big thing. That takes up the end of three lots of parking spaces. Trailer parking spaces. See, that cuts them short.
Yeah.
But they can put smaller trailers in there, you know, like for overnighters or something like that. They can squeeze them in there in front of that trailer. But it just blocks everything right off there, you know. But when they brought it in, well, there was nothing to do with that. That was the only way that they thought they could bring it or set it in the other way. See, they didn't realize it was as long as it was. Well, when they come to try to put it in that way, it was too long. They couldn't do it. That was the only way they could do it. They had to set it the other way.
Uh-huh.
And there's only two, a man and a woman. Well, I don't know exactly how old they are. He's not old enough to retire yet. But he's getting up into that bracket. And this woman, and he's gone all week long. He works up at... Well, anyway, it's up in the northern part of the state. He works there, and he only comes home maybe once a month, and sometimes longer before he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then he was off. I guess he was off for pretty near 2 months. Well, then he just went back to work again.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't been back. And now this is the third week that he hasn't been back since he went back to work.
Mm-hmm.
And she's there all alone in that great big monstrous trailer. Just her and the dog.
Is that right? And that cuts him out of the other trailer.
He can squeeze in small trailers, you know, the short trailers.
Yeah.
But a trailer of any size, he can't. You don't have to turn that on for me.
I'll turn it down.
Oh. Because I'm plenty warm.
See, she was sitting there. She could have cut it down herself.
We were just comfortable.
We were. She's hot.
Well, I'm not hot, but I say I'm comfortable. I'm not cold.
Now, you see, we're having trouble with that window rope.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't get it down. And he tried it several ways, and I had a little piece of wire, and I tried to put that down and pull it down. And he thought what to do. Furnace chain.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Don't,
furnace chain.
All right, don't forget that one over by the bed. Is that the one you're talking about? It won't go down? Let him check that.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, the one that's right there by the bed.
What are you talking about?
The window that won't go down that's by the bed. Not the one on the west.
I don't know what you're talking about. You'll have to come up.
Okay, I will show it. Well, it's...
No, you see, you take these short trailers. Oh, say, like, 12 to 15 foot trailers, they can put them in there.
Uh-huh.
And park them all right. But when it comes to anything longer than that, they can't put them in there.
I see. So it does.
And it cuts that much of the overnighter space.
Uh-huh.
Off.
Uh-huh.
And, that's all they can use them for. Of course, they've reserved that much anyway for. But when it comes to anything bigger than that, or permanent, why,
uh-huh,
then they have to,
uh-huh,
park them other.
And then, of course, just so that draft doesn't come in, then it's just a whole big long trailer right there in front of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
It cuts all of our view off on that, you know, from that way.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's nice enough to say that if he had thought about it, he wouldn't have done it.
No, they both said that, that they had no idea that it was going to turn out to be that way, or they wouldn't have let it in.
Mm-hmm.
But they're in there, and they're set. And Art had put in the entrance pole, and they had to have a big box on account of that they're all electric.
Oh, I see.
See, and they require the big entrance box. So he had that all installed. Well, there was nothing to do with what they had to leave them.
Mm-hmm.
Of course,
mm-hmm,
after they'd come to her down here from where they come from, you see, where they couldn't very well do anything else.
Mm-hmm. They don't have time to visit much, do they?
They don't. These people don't seem to want to mingle with anybody.
Oh, that's how they're sort of odd.
Huh?
Oh, I'm talking.
I mean, these people that's got this trailer.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know. I think. I'm not sure, but I just kind of think that maybe, now she has been, a high executive secretary,
uh-huh,
and I have an idea that might have affected her mind, because she acts kind of a little bit funny.
Mm-hmm.
Not too noticeable, but in her actions,
mm-hmm,
you can kind of see it, see?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, for some reason or other, if you talk to them, they'll talk to you and all that. But they're very reserved. They don't act as though they want to be friendly with anybody. And nobody goes there.
Well, it's sort of a shame because they're close to you and you could,
yeah,
visit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I went over there and talked to her a couple times, and Art has went over there and done service for him, But that's the extent of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she seems to act as though that she wants to mingle with anybody. So we just leave them alone and let it go at that. The rest of them do the same thing. The rest of the neighbors around there, they don't.
And the people who own the place, do they visit?
Well, they don't have time.
They just don't have time, do they?
No, they're busy all the time. And whenever they need anything done, well, they come and get Art, you know. And they always speak and all that, you know, if we see them. But these other people, you can see in their attitude that they just don't want to be friendly with anybody.
Well, you do have people around there, though, on the other side that you.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't pay no attention. I speak to them and all that, but I feel this way about it. These people are coming and going.
Yeah.
And they're gone all the time during the day anyway, the most of them.
Uh-huh.
And for that reason, we just leave them strictly alone.
Sure.
We've got all kinds of friends around there.
I knew you did.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
We don't have to seek them out, you know.
Sure.
If they are around where we are and they speak or want to talk, we talk to them. But we don't make a point of, going to.
Do you get together for picnics or anything like you used to?
Oh, with
our
friends
supper?
When they're here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you used to have.
Yeah, well, they'll soon be back down again now. They would have been down this week, but it used to be her sister-in-law. Her sister died. This one that used to be her sister-in-law, and she was pretty much broke up over that, and so they're staying up a little longer on account of her. Because they come down, too, during the winter, this woman and her husband. And she called me yesterday from Pennsylvania and told me that they would be a little later coming down on account of that. But what she called me for, she wanted me to call the power company. She was afraid that, she didn't get her power bill until late. She left it on, the summer, the summer rate. And she was afraid that, they might shut it off before she got back down here because it would be delinquent. So she called me to tell me that she had mailed the check in, but she wanted me to call and tell them that they had mailed it, that they'd be getting it because she was afraid they'd. In the meantime, before it got there, that they might shut it off.
Ms. Eastman does a little business for everybody down there in that area, Guy.
How come?
She was telling me just about a person who called her from Pennsylvania to take care. And she takes care of Art's business, and she.
So they, I don't know. She said she just wasn't sure whether they'd get started next week or not, but they planned to, or she was going to try to.
Oh, they telephone you to get Art.
No. I'm taking care of this myself. They their power bill. See, they live just beyond us there, and they live 6 months down here and 6 months up there.
Oh yeah.
And their power bill, they left it on. See, when they left, because they didn't want to turn it off. It's on the summer rate, and their power bill was late. Getting up there to them.
Mm-hmm.
So she just got it, and she was afraid that she might not get back down here before the delinquent date, and she has mailed the check.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted me to call them tomorrow and tell them that it was on its way down so that they wouldn't
yeah.
shut the lights off.
Yes.
But see, Ms. Eastman's a sort of center there. People all around call in.
Well, I wish I lived close by.
She says she can't get far away from the telephone because people say, well, where were you? Even if she went out to put in the wash.
Well, I called down there that morning, and it's the first time I've called down there that she didn't answer, Faye.
Well, I probably was outside.
And she went to the post office, I think you
said.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably where I was.
Yeah.
You have to go over to the post office.
I don't all the time, no. But the people that generally picks up the mail for me, that live back of me there, they've gone up to Tennessee. And I got a letter from her yesterday, too. And we kind of look after their place, see, when they're gone.
See, they do that for everybody.
And so when they're here, he goes to pick up their mail, see. So then he picks up mine, so that I don't have to go after it. But, of course, they're gone now, so I have to go after it.
Yeah.
Until they get back. But they plan on starting back tomorrow. And they said if the weather was nice, they might stop off in Chattanooga for a couple of days. So if they do, then they won't get in here until probably Wednesday or Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Faye?
Mm-hmm.
Miss Eastman's having trouble getting that rope down in that window. I think he's about got it now. Now on that light, the overhead light, I think about all it could be is that switch,
mm-hmm.
wall switch. He didn't have a screwdriver up here. And if you went up there with this screwdriver and
okay.
just hung around,
okay.
he might look at it. I don't think anything he'd do to it now, but he could see if that's it.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you, Ms. Eastman, I'll tell you the truth. If it wasn't for Mr. Eastman, I'd just have to go out of business.
You aren't the only one. Orange Lake and McIntosh especially, and Reddick. They depend on him, all of them. And they all holler the same thing. They don't know what they'd do if anything happens and he quits.
Yeah. Yes.
They all holler the same thing.
Well, now, he goes down to Mr. Palmer's all the time.
I know he does. And he's working over to Anthony now for Palmer.
Oh.
He started over there Friday. Worked all day Friday and Saturday. And he's got to go back again tomorrow and possibly Tuesday. Don't know for sure.
Yeah.
He's fixing up a house there that's empty and people are waiting to get moved in.
Uh-huh.
And he's getting that ready.
Yeah. And once they get started in them old houses, the people have moved out of this.
Well, it isn't too often because Art has, Art's done work for Palmer for a long time, see. And here a while back, oh, it's been a couple of years, I guess, anyway, maybe three, that he was over there and he spent, well, I don't know, I guess pretty close to 2 weeks fixing up houses.
Good
and
man.
Even with people in them.
Yes.
But every once in a while, there may be some minor thing will come up that he has to go over there and do. But not too often.
Mm-hmm.
But his main work is Orange Lake and McIntosh. Boy, he's got a backlog there of work that's got to be done that they're waiting for him to get to them.
In Orange Lake and McIntosh.
And Reddick. But not so many in Reddick.
No.
But Orange Lake and McIntosh, they really depend on him.
Yeah.
And but they have to wait until he can get to them.
Well, you take that big restaurant down there.
Yeah, that's his biggest job. He's over there half of the time.
It's amazing how much it takes to keep them things going, ain't it?
I know it, and they won't have anybody else but him unless something comes up that he can't get to them, and it's something that has to be done.
Yeah.
Well, once in a while they'll get somebody else in, but then it ends up that Art has to do it after him.
Yes.
But I got Art's got so now that unless it's an emergency, something that's really an emergency, they just have to wait until he can get to them.
Yes, yes. Yes.
But of course, most of the restaurant work is emergency work.
Yeah.
And they've even got him after we've gone to bed at night. He's had to get up and go over there, but not too often. But once in a while.
Yes, something breaks down and they can't wait a week for it.
They've got to have it. Well, then he has to get up and go over there.
Yeah.
But it isn't too often that happens. But he spends an awful lot of time over there.
Well. The last I heard of that I heard him talking about was this inspector was giving him trouble about taking the smoke out.
Yeah, well, he worked over there. Oh, well, I guess he was in there that time. Well, about 2 weeks that he was working there, they had to put a new fan in, a hood, and oh,
yeah.
I can't begin to tell you what all. And there's a lot of things that he had to fix over, and every once in a while. And then that building out back of the restaurant there, where they have the restroom for the colored people
yeah.
that work there, that goes in there. Well, he had to redo that, and then he had to tear part of that building off and rebuild it and put a fence around it for them to keep their soft drinks and empties and stuff like that in, so they could keep them locked up.
Yeah.
And, well, it took him, well, I guess he was about a couple of weeks working at that, because he paneled the inside of the restroom and different things and... Fixed that all up,
yeah.
And had to put new doors on. So, and then of course there are appliances. He's working 2/3 of the time fixing their appliances.
Yeah. Well, and that you know, I'd hate to go into business like that, Ms. Eastman.
Well, Art likes it.
I mean, I'd hate to be in the restaurant business,
oh,
something
oh,
like
I
that, where I
well,
had...
Well, they've got it up for sale, you know, because he's not well at all. Well, in fact, neither one of them are. She's not too well.
Well, when that happened?
He's in bad... Huh?
When did that happen? I thought they were in pretty good shape.
Not for health. You see, he was injured in the Navy.
Oh.
Or the Marines, which... No, Navy, I think it was. And he's got a bad leg, and then he has to wear a pacemaker.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, and he's not a bit well. He's in and out of the hospital 2/3 of the time. And then she has a little trouble similar to mine, with the exception that she didn't have the gout. But she has the fluid and uric acid. So that's what I've got, the uric acid. That's what brought that gout on.
Yeah, oh,
and
it is.
Yeah, and, it's arthritic, but it's caused from uric acid. That is with mine, but I don't know if hers is uric or not, but she has that
yeah.
trouble. And then
well,
she has the fluid same as I do.
Have you found some way of taking care of that acid?
Well, the doctor is, I'm on prescription that I'm taking all the time.
And
but I'll always
down?
Have a little trouble with that leg. I can't get away from that. That'll hang on.
Yeah.
It's chronic. See, I've had that for years and years and years. But that gout that flared up, you see, I probably had that to an extent but didn't realize it, see, until it really took a hold of me.
Yeah.
And boy, when I...
Oh, I see. I see. It got a head start on you.
Yeah.
If you could... if you'd caught the symptoms...
Yeah. But you see, I had trouble with that leg, but didn't realize just what it was. See, until it got to the point where I couldn't walk, that leg, you know, hit in my knee there, and boy, I was on crutches there for a while.
Yeah.
And when Art took me down to the clinic there in Ocala, because our doctor was gone, and they diagnosed it what it was, that it was the gout. They said it was a uric gout, and so they said for me to go back to my doctor when he got back. So when I went back to him, well, then they gave me some medicine to take. Well, I took that up. Well, then the doctor had me finish out on that for a while. Then he changed my medication, and so since I've been taking that, the swelling in my legs have gone down.
Yeah.
But I can't, I don't get entirely rid of that pain in my feet or in my knee.
Yes.
That pain is there.
It's still there.
But I just have to bear with it, that's all.
Yeah.
But what I do when it gets to hurting too much, well, then I go and get off my feet for a while. And
that relieves it.
It relaxes it for a while, and then I go back at it again.
Well, you all do that, but anyhow.
Well, I did, but... it's more so now than ever, with that being sore, see? That, but I don't have them sharp pains in there like I did have.
What?
It's
just a
kind of a steady ache in there now.
What did the gout, what does that do to you, Miss?
Oh, boy. I'm telling you, you get that once, now you know you got something.
It's painful.
Oh, that's terrible painful. It's just like stabbing something. That my best expression is, it's just like you're going to drive a knife.
All in
right
your leg
through,
down there?
No, in the knee.
In the knee.
Yeah, but my feet hurt. You know what I mean? They hurt, but it isn't a driving pain. But that in the knee was a driving pain.
But it was...
When I'd lay down, I had to put a pillow between my legs. It was the only way I could, get any rest at all with that pain.
Oh, really?
But, of course, I don't have that now. But I still... that knee is sore.
Yeah.
And it has a dull ache in there all the time.
Yeah.
But and it bothers me a little bit in trying to walk. And that's why I'm so darn careful when I walk. Because, I just don't want to do anything to kick that up.
Yeah. Yes.
And then, of course, I have to kind of watch what I eat.
What do you have to watch about your eating?
Not to eat anything, no fatty foods or anything like that will build up fat.
Yeah.
And lean beef and lean pork and things like that I can eat.
Well, most of the meat you get now is all trimmed up anyhow, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but there's a certain amount of fat in it yet anyway. And broiled meats. I'm not supposed to eat anything fried.
Yeah.
But broiled meats and things like that I can have.
Yeah.
And I can't have no coffee.
No coffee?
Anything that has caffeine in it. I have to stay away from that. So I use that...
Well, what does that do?
Huh? Well, that has a bearing on it. It's an acid, see?
Oh, I see.
Anything that, but the main thing that he wants me to have is orange juice and homemade tomato juice. I can't have no boughten tomato juice.
Well, you can't get homemade tomatoes now.
Well, I make them myself when I can get the tomatoes.
You can't find
I've got a blender, see, I fix it myself, but right now it's hard to get tomatoes, and you can't afford to buy them out of the store, because they cost too much.
And they're not raising them anywhere.
No. So when I could get them, there for a while the restaurant was getting them for me.
Oh, I see.
But they don't come there anymore with tomatoes. So now I just have to get along without the tomatoes, but I still have the orange juice. Now our oranges, our Chinese sweets are ripe now.
Yeah.
So we're using them now.
Yeah.
Before that, I had to buy the oranges.
Yeah.
But then the others, of course, they won't be ready for a long time yet. But.
So you you just consume a great deal of orange juice.
Well, once a day. Once in a while, maybe I'll drink a little through the day, but not too often. Generally, once a day, I drink it.
Just once a day?
Mm-hmm.
How much?
A glass that size.
Oh, is that all? And that's all they say?
Well, he didn't tell me that, but that's what I'm drinking.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you have to keep me humping to keep juice ahead.
That's right. That's...
Because it goes fast enough as it is, because you see, with the two of us drinking orange juice,
I know,
take long to use it up.
You don't have much in it.
What do you mean?
The oranges don't cost much. If you do your...
When you come to buy enough oranges to make orange juice, it takes quite a lot.
Well, I know, but if you do your own juicing...
We make it ourselves, yes. But you buy a bag of oranges and it's going to cost you around $2 or more.
For a bushel?
No, for a bag.
Well, you ought to be able to do better than that.
Mm-mm. Not if you want to get decent oranges.
Well,
if you want to get some that's half rotten, why, yes, you can get them a little cheaper.
Well, from now on, for the next...
Well, we'll have our own now for a while. Now our Chinese sweet is sweet now, or are ripe now, so we're using them now. We just started on them. And then a little later, our other trees will be ready.
Yeah.
So then we won't have to be buying any, for a while. But.
Yeah. Well, you don't buy your oranges from the that tower up there.
Only when we don't have time to go downtown to get them.
Yes.
Then we do get them up there. But otherwise, we generally get them down. But the only thing that I got against Luffman's, half of their oranges are not good in the bag.
Yeah.
And I figure you're throwing money away. You'd be paying out the difference of what you would be paying up on the hill because you get good oranges there.
Yeah.
And if you go down there and have to throw half of an orange away, what good is that?
And another thing, you see, if you've got to drive 5 or 10 miles extra to get them,
that's right.
You haven't saved much.
If we're in town and then stop and get them, that'd be different.
Yeah.
But we got, I think it's 3 different bags now. And we've had to throw some of the oranges away out of those bags from down there.
Yeah.
So it's like I told Art, I said, we might just as well get them up here and get good oranges. You know, and because 9 times out of 10 he don't have time to go down unless we already happen to be downtown.
Yeah.
So this way, it works out.
Well, now you know the postmaster there in McIntosh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he got a grove back there, and they've got good oranges. Now, I don't know what they are this season, but last season, of course, we got, that's where we get our Christmas presents. We go down there and pick them, and mm-hmm. I think we paid him $2 a bushel.
Well, that's different when you go pick your own.
Yeah.
But you see, we don't have time for that.
Well, it's right there at you. It don't take any time to pick a bushel of oranges.
I know it, but I'm telling you, it's just like this. I don't ask Art to do any more than he has to.
Yeah.
He's got enough to do.
He's got enough.
Yeah, and then, of course, we'll be having our own for too long now. We'll have a lot of oranges.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've had oranges give to us through the winter.
Oh, have you?
Other years. Yes, right. We've people from McIntosh, different ones, have given us oranges.
Oh.
So, you see, that way we didn't have to buy too many anyway. It's usually in the summertime, you know, when, you know, that it, we'd have to.
Yeah.
After ours is used up.
Yeah.
So it works out anyway.
Yeah. Now, one of his good customers there in McIntosh is Lois Dixon.
Yeah.
And
she has given us oranges, too.
Uh-huh.
But there's several different ones around there that have given us oranges other years. Then there was one family that used to be there. They're gone now. But they used to be there, and the land, they had us loaded with oranges.
Oh.
The land, they'd give us 3 and 4 bushels of oranges to a time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. But they sold out, and they're gone.
I remember Mr. Waters. Walter, W.W.
Well, Art does a lot of work for her, too.
Oh, does he? Well, now, for 3 or 4 years, you see, up until he had quit work, he'd raise them, and then he'd go out and get them, a load at a time, you see, and he always got good oranges.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you say, we didn't throw away any.
Yeah.
And it was very easy to pick them up down there because we go to McIntosh every now and then. So we miss them. Oh, I hate you just miss these people, don't you?
Now, Burry's there. Every once in a while, they send vegetables down to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. See, they have a vegetable stand there. And Art does a lot of work for them.
Who has a vegetable stand?
Henry Burry.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they got a vegetable stand. This year he put in a garden. And they've been selling stuff out of the garden.
Oh, he did.
Art had to fix a money box. She went and got a box about that long and about that wide, about that deep, to put change in. And she brought it down there for Art to put a slot in the top of it and fix it so that they fasten it on the table so they can't take it off in the table. So the people, if they don't happen to be right out there and they want something, where they put the money in that box.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and then Art maintains the house there. See, they have renters in the house too.
Oh,
so
they?
He has those places, and Betty McCoon is another one that he does quite a lot of work for.
Mm-hmm. Betty McCoon.
She lives right next door to Henry Bury. That big used to be a hotel.
Oh.
Right
oh,
across from
yeah.
What used to be the lumberyard.
Yeah. Well, now, does she have rumors too?
Well, she's got, mainly right now she's got some of her relatives there.
Yeah. Well, it's a big place.
Yeah. You see, they come down in the winter. And her brother, he's down there. He's with her now. But he's building a place. He's gonna be living here permanently.
And he's building.
He's building.
God Almighty.
But she has those rooms, you know. And then every once in a while somebody comes in, you know, and she rents it out.
I don't see how anybody now would have the nerve to do any building.
I don't know, but they
don't. With the price of material.
I know it. I know, it's a headache.
Good Lord.
And it's a lot of the stuff that you can't even get.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised at the stuff that you can't get. Because every once in a while, there'll be some little thing come up that Art will have to get. Sometimes he has to run all over creation to get what he's after.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what happened to the telephone people down there? Do you ever see them?
What do you mean? What telephone people?
Don't you know that fellow that used to live over there by your sister?
Oh, well, he lives over on the lake now. That is over that, is it Sportsman's Cove?
I don't know.
I think they call it the Sportsman's Cove. He's bought a big trailer, and he's living down there.
But he's still there in town,
yeah.
Around there.
Yeah, he's still working.
Is he?
Yeah.
What was his name?
Well, which one are you talking about? There were two of them. The one he's left.
The
he's,
one?
They run him out.
Oh.
That one that we had to run
yeah.
in with? Oh, yeah, they run him out.
Oh, he's gone.
Yeah, he's gone. He's long gone.
Yeah. He wasn't.
They fired him, you know.
He wasn't quite as...
He was a troublemaker. Yeah, they fired him.
Oh, well, I thought, you know, at the time, your sister must have had a little help to get involved in all that.
She just as much deep in the mire as they were.
But she had to have a little help. She couldn't do it all herself.
Oh, no, but then... She didn't need any help when it come down to that.
Yeah. But then put them both together.
Three of them. They went across the road from them there.
Was in on it?
Yeah.
Well, that's news. Is that right?
And don't you think she isn't sorry today?
Yeah. Yeah.
She's going to stay sorry as far as I'm concerned.
She just bet on the wrong horse, didn't she?
She bet on the wrong... Because that's the second time she pulled that on me. Twice is enough. You know, there was for 20 years that we didn't speak.
Oh, really?
And then I kind of overlooked it and thought, well, maybe things would be different.
Yeah.
And then this thing come up.
Then this thing come up.
Yeah. And I said that. I'll tell you, if it had been just me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought so much about it, but when they pulled it on Art, that did.
Yeah. With him doing all that work up
yeah,
there.
Yeah, he was working there when it happened.
You know, that's
and that. Then when that happened.
Yeah.
I said, that's it. And I said, to the day she's got to come and apologize to him and I both. And if she don't do it, she stays there and I stay where I am.
I never saw her, you know.
Yeah.
Is she a sort of outspoken person?
Sometimes.
Oh,
but
I
she's
see.
Sneaky.
Oh.
But she can be so nice and butter wouldn't melt in her mouth.
Oh really?
And then again she can really rip you up the back and don't ever think she can't. But I'll tell you where the trouble is. She's jealous of me. In this way. That my father always favored me.
Oh.
And she resented that.
Yeah.
And she's always held that again. I've had her throw that up to me I don't know how many times.
Yeah.
Because Dad always favored me. But she was so disagreeable with Dad. Naturally, Dad felt that. And of course, I was older. I was the oldest of the girls.
Yeah.
And Dad didn't favor me. But I never used to misuse Dad, which she did.
Oh.
And she's always been jealous because Dad favored me. And
all that time.
Yeah.
That's from the time you were growing up.
Yes. And she still feels that.
Because
even since we've been here, she's thrown that up to me.
Yeah,
about Dad favoring me.
Yeah.
So I can see into it in a way. But nevertheless, when she did what she did to Art.
Yes.
Boy, I'm telling you, that really done me in right then and there.
I'm telling you, that's almost past belief.
I know it.
It's hard to believe that anybody that you know it's so ridiculous. It's funny.
I know it is.
It's funny. It's so ridiculous.
But the reason she did it, she wanted to get Art out of that club because Art didn't believe in them not doing what was, they wanted to do things that wasn't right for the club.
Yeah.
And they knew that he would object to some of the things that they wanted to do.
Yeah.
Because it was going against the club code.
Yeah.
And for that reason, they went at it in an underhanded way to force him out.
Yeah. I'll be darned.
Yeah.
And they just about ruined the club.
They have. That the only thing that holds that club together today is the bingo games. If it wasn't for them bingo games, there wouldn't be nothing there.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How often they do that?
Well, it's closed down right now, but I don't know when they'll be starting up again.
Yeah.
But that's about the only thing that goes on down there.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, everybody likes bingo games, and that will draw the people. But other than that, there's...
I imagine most people would just love to get up on the supper table and go over there and start playing bingo.
Oh, they do.
And just spend the evening at it.
Yeah.
And have a big time.
Yeah.
Now, can they have a good time when they're doing it? They don't have to just sit there and push the bingo pieces.
Well, sure, that's what they do. That's the object of the game.
They don't just sit there and concentrate on bingo, do they?
Yeah.
They
play about 2 hours. Oh, maybe 2 hours, 2 hours and a half.
Yeah.
And then that's it. But you see, it's the sport of the game.
Oh, I see.
That's what they like.
Yeah.
I like bingo myself, but I wouldn't go down there if I never had a...
Could you take 2 hours of it?
Well, there's nothing to it. That time goes fast.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well, 30 minutes would catch me.
Well, maybe so.
I'm not a great sitter, you know.
Yeah.
That
makes a difference. But you tell you, those people that go there, they're all regular bingo players. You know, you'd be surprised how many bingo fanatics there are in the country.
You couldn't tell them by just running into them.
No. Mm-mm.
Well, I tell you what a fellow ought to do. He just ought to go down there when they open up and see who.
No, we don't want no part of it. We're out of it, and we're going to stay out of it. Just forget about it.
Well, I just think...
We wouldn't set foot in that place if it... Not as long as that bunch is around there.
Yes.
And they're still in there, see, so...
Yes, how many of them would you...
Well, them three are in
just
there.
Just the three of them.
Well, in fact, there's four in there. That one that runs that gas station there, he's in there, too.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, they got him in there.
Oh, have they?
So, we're out of it, and it's going to stay that way.
Well, that's not the only thing. You can get into anything you want to.
Well, I'll tell you, the way I feel now, I'm not interested in that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
I've got away from it, and I...
Well, you've got enough without that. You don't need any more.
I've got my television, and by the way, the kids brought us a colored television the other night.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, a console, a Magnavox.
Yeah.
It's a nice one, but the only thing is, I think whether they done it in moving it or whether it just needs adjusting the colors. We can't seem to get the colors blended just the way we want them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we may have to have a television man come up and get them colors adjusted.
Yeah.
But it works all right, and it's a beautiful set.
Yeah.
And works in every way, only just that the colors aren't just what we want.
Yeah.
It shows either too much red or too much green.
Yeah.
And we gotta get that blended, see, so that to get away from that.
Uh-huh. You like the color?
Well, I'm going to once get it adjusted. Yeah, I like the color television. You see, when the kids went up to New York this summer, they had just bought a new colored television set, and they didn't want to leave it in the trailer while they were gone.
Yeah.
So they brought it up to our place, and we used it while they were gone. They wanted us to use it while they were gone.
Yeah.
So we didn't know they was going to get this.
Uh-huh.
We had gone to bed Friday night. Oh, I guess we'd been to bed maybe an hour or so. And I didn't know. I thought I was dreaming, because one night I did dream that I thought I heard the doorbell.
but it rang
just the once. So I didn't pay no attention to it. Well, when it rang the second time, then I knew I wasn't dreaming.
Yeah.
So I got up and hear the kids had been to an auction.
Yeah.
Down there to Bellevue. And they had this television set there.
Well,
they got it for $40.
Is that right?
A $700 set. And they got it for $40, and so they brought it up to us.
Good Lord. Good Lord. Think of that. Well,
he said the reason they knew that it was a... And it's a 71.
Oh,
it's a 71 model.
Well, that's
and,
practically new.
Yeah. What was I going to say?
Yeah, they got it.
Oh, how they come to go over there. They're looking for a hide-a-bed put in their trailer,
yeah.
So they'd have an extra bed.
Yeah.
And because the way it is now, they've only got three bedrooms, and the boy and the girl each has their room, and they have their room.
Yeah.
So they need an extra bed.
That fills it up.
Yeah, and so they're looking for a hide-a-bed, so that because they have those auctions down there, and so they went down there, and but they didn't happen to have a hide-a-bed in the other night, but they had this television in there, and so when they see that, well, they thought of us right away. When it only went for that price. Why, then they bought it. Well, I know what I started to say. That they know a woman that's got one just exactly like it in the same year and all. The same thing exactly. And she said she gave over $700 for hers. So they knew, that the...
Oh, yes. Well, you know those cabinet radio televisions with the color... You know they don't give them away.
No, you're darn right they don't. And the Magnavox is supposed to be a good set.
Yes.
And they thought of us right away, and so they bought it and brought it right up. They didn't even go home. They come right on up to our place and brought it up.
Yeah. I'll have it done.
He's supposed to come back up this afternoon. He's going to mow our neighbor's lawn for him, because she expects to be down next week, or she wants to get down if she can get away. Her what used to be her sister-in-law, her sister died, and she kind of all broke up over that, so she stayed up there to kind of get her quieted down, and then they figure on coming down. She called me yesterday from Pennsylvania. And so he's gonna, he's mowed it twice this summer. And so he's coming up this afternoon again. And he was gonna mow ours, but he had bought a new car. And he had a hitch on it. He uses that to haul his little trailer with a power mower on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a riding mower. And, but the trailer, the hitch that he had on the other car that he had, that he traded in, we wouldn't fit this car.
Yeah.
So they thought they was going to have to send away for a new trailer hitch to put on there, and they said it'd take 10 days. Well, they happened to run across one. In the that they didn't know they had there, and they come across it, so they called him, and he took the car in, and they put it on right away. So,
oh, yeah.
Well, in the meantime, she had called me and said that it'd be 10 days before Stuart could come and mow the lawn. And I said, well, I said, we can't wait that long. So Art took time and went out and mowed the lawn. I'm trying to keep him from mowing the lawn as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's a little hard to get that mower started, that is our mower. And then, of course, you have to push it. It isn't self-propulsion. And so he does get kind of tired, but he did. He went ahead and mowed it, got that done. Well, then that night they come up and said that they got the hitch. Well, of course, we already had ours mowed, but he'll still mow theirs. So he's going to come back up this afternoon.
Oh, that's nice.
And then another thing, he's got to help us do to set that television. I'm going to, you know where I got that chest over there on the right there by the bedroom?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to set that up on that. Because, you know, my room is, living room is kind of small. And that by setting it up there, it gets it out of the way, and it still will give me, by leaving the legs on it,
yeah.
It'll give me room to put things underneath and still use the top. You know, to lay things on,
yeah.
And I can have my rotor right underneath the television.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have my bookcase to put other things on, and my television that I've been using that's set on that, I'm going to put that out in the kitchen on top of our hot water heater.
Yeah.
And then that way we'll have the black and white one out in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So that, like in the morning,
yeah.
We can when we Art likes to listen to the news in the morning. Well, then we'll have that there where we can use that out there.
Yeah.
The way it was, the way it's setting now, we could see it from the kitchen.
Yes.
But by putting it out there that way, we can see it in the kitchen because we won't
yes.
be able to see the color one
yes.
from the living room where it's going to be.
Wow.
So we've got that all figured out.
Yeah.
Because we've got an extra lead in.
Yeah.
You see that all he's got to do is bring it in through just above the hot water heater. To hook onto the television.
Yeah.
So then we'll have the two-way.
Well, I was glad. That's nice. Well, now, you know things like that are handy. And I don't think you ought to consider the cost of them when they're that handy.
You know where the other weight is?
Yes.
Well,
I'll bring it.
And why anything wrong with that light is just they put it in the wrong bulb in the wrong thing. It works all right.
Yeah, I can get him a...
Yeah, get him a weight.
Wait.
He's almost through.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's got... those old up and down windows...
Yeah.
...are...
And we got some of them, too, so I know.
And you know, you just have to be an expert at it before you can work it.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Deesman knows how to make it fit. And these are, you know,
yeah,
not
lopsided.
Yeah, not plumb. Oh man.
Oh, we don't have the weights on ours, but then they're the kind that slides up and down anyway.
Oh. Well, these have those old long weights
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I know what they are.
Have to tie the knots
mm-hmm.
just right.
Art runs into that every once in a while. He's had a lot of them up around McIntosh that he's had to fix.
In those old houses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know anybody that's more important than a person who keeps things going like this.
Yeah.
Because the fewest people in the world can do it themselves.
I know. And he can do most anything, you see. That's the point. And that's what the people all holler about. And they know his work. And they know what he can do.
Uh-huh. Well, it's unusual to have somebody that can do...
Stuart, his son-in-law is the same way.
His son-in-law?
Mm-hmm. He's the same way. He can do anything.
A fellow like that's never out of a job, is he?
No. You see, he's the maintenance man in the American Industries in Ocala. There, you know, they make these range hoods.
Oh.
And these doors, you know, like for closets, you know, those ventilated doors and all that stuff. They make all that stuff there. And he's their maintenance man there. And they, his daughter works there, too.
And they live in Ocala?
No, they live in Summerfield. Or not. Yeah. Summerfield.
Mm-hmm.
See, they did live in Belleville. They bought a trailer. See, when they left our place, they bought a trailer. And they was in Belleville for a while until they could find a lot they wanted to buy. Well, they finally found one over there. And so they... got their well in and got their power pole and everything all installed. And see, he can do all that work himself, all but putting the well down. And so he went ahead and got that all ready, and then they moved their trailer over there. And him and her both work over to the factory there.
Mm-hmm.
He eventually wants to build a house, but I don't know when they'll get around to do that.
Well, you see them every once in a while.
Oh yeah, they come up every, and if they don't come up, they call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she either calls me or I call her.
Is she like Miss Eastman?
No, she looks more like her mother.
Well, he's so when I see him, he's so jolly.
Oh, he's most always that way.
Things don't worry him too much.
Well, they do, but he has a way of hiding it. I can generally tell when something's bothering him. Because when he's around with me, if anything's on his mind, he don't have much to say.
Well, I just thought you all chatted all the time.
Mm-mm. There's lots and lots of times we'll sit for maybe an hour or 2 hours and not say much of anything. But he's relaxing most of the time. Or maybe he'll be studying. You know, lots of times he'll have things on his mind pertaining to his work.
Uh-huh.
That he's studying things out
uh-huh.
in his mind. Well, then at night, as a rule, after we've had our supper, he likes to sit down and look at the paper. And I don't believe there's a paragraph in that paper that he don't read.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's a great hand to read the paper. Well, I don't even turn the television on unless it's something special
that
we want to see. But then I'll turn it on while he's reading. But of course, once in a while, there'll be something that he likes to look at too. Well, then he'll watch that and then go back at the paper after it's over with.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way we generally spend our evenings. But the most of the talking we do is like when we're at the table and eating our meal, and then if he's got anything to say, that's most of the time that he does the talking. Unless somebody comes in.
Mm-hmm. Tells you what he's done that day and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of catching up with.
Well, you see, it's of an interest to me in this way. It gives me an inkling of what to figure if something comes up.
Yes.
I kind of know what to say and what to do.
Sure. You need to.
Yeah.
If you're going to
have
to help make the appointments and know where he is.
That's right. And a lot of the cases, if I'm not sure, I tell him to call back when he's there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess they could keep him busy over at that drift the restaurant.
Yeah. He is busy over there most of the time.
Because I imagine...
But he's got them pretty well caught up right now without emergencies. Once in a while, there'll be an emergency comes up. But right now, as far as I know, he's got things pretty well caught up there.
Mm-hmm.
Until something else comes along.
Mm-hmm. Well, with a thing like that, there's so many things to get out of fix.
But I have to laugh. Every once in a while, they'll make their remark. They didn't know what in the world they'd do if it ever got to where they couldn't get art. Because they've had other people come in there that they couldn't depend on.
Uh-huh.
Art has, several times, they had another man come in there. Art would have to do it over after. So, that's the way it goes.
I told him up there, I said, Mr. Eastman, we couldn't live without you. We just couldn't. And he laughed and he said, Miss Lois's cousin or somebody was there, Lois Dixon. And he went down and he stopped by and this cousin said, I want to meet the man that Lois can't live without.
There's a lot of them say that. Yeah, McIntosh especially. Well, there's a lot of them in Orange Lake too.
Uh-huh.
But McIntosh in particular, they all holler that. Mae Waters and Lois Dixon and Betty McCoon and Henry Burries and all of that bunch around through there.
Henry Burry.
Yeah.
When have I thought about him? He used to be down at the...
In the...
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He, now, when they have garden stuff, I was telling your husband, when they have garden stuff, they've got a table, a stand out there now that they sell garden stuff.
Henry?
Mm-hmm. Since he's out of the store there.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know he did anything.
Well, he did this year. He raised a big garden.
Oh.
And they send us down stuff every once in a while, or she'll bring it down. When I was sick there, she come down to see me 3-4 times. And, they every little while they'll have something. You see, they've got 2 apartments in their house that they rent out, see. And it's most generally old ladies that they have in there. And every once in a while, Art has to go down there and fix something or other.
Oh, I see, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the same way with Betty McCoon. Now, last Saturday, he was there all day fixing a heater for Betty. She had bought a heater and they didn't send half of the stuff that they was supposed to go with it, a gas heater.
Uh-huh.
Art had a heck of a time. It took him all day to get it fixed.
Now, does she have, apartments too?
Mm-hmm. And see, that used to be a hotel at one time.
Oh, I know, yes.
And right now, she's got relatives in there. And then she's got one, I don't know whether she's a relative or not, but she's got one woman that's a cripple that's in there. And that's where she had to have the stove installed for this woman.
Uh-huh.
So Art had quite a time. Finally, he got it hooked up. He had to make a stovepipe for it, and I don't know what all, besides getting it, half of the stuff they didn't send it to hook it up. So he really got into a mess on that one. And to top it out with, the funny part of it was, I wanted to see the woman across the street about something. And I don't know whatever possessed me to do it. I don't know, I never will know, I guess. But instead of picking up the door key, I picked up the key that goes to the wash house. And the minute I shut that door, I knew what I'd done. Well, I had myself locked out. So then, well, I went over and seen her, and then I come back. Well, then I went back to the neighbors behind me there. And I was over there, and all at once I keep my eyes peeled anyway when I'm out of the house if I'm around where I can. I seen this car coming in. And I hadn't seen this car before, so I didn't recognize the car. And But I said to Opal, I said, well, I said, I've got to go. I said, there's somebody over there. I just pulled in. Well, I go here. Here was kids. They had come up. They had just bought this car. Or no, they hadn't bought it yet then, but they was on the process of thinking about buying it. And they come up. So they took me up where Art was, up to Benny McCoon's there, and got his key. So then we went back down, and I got in the house then. But it was just luck that they come along, see, so that I was able to get the key. So that worked out all right. But I'm telling you, he had a mess that day. And he was a little bit nerved up that night.
Oh, really?
I can generally tell, because he's a nervous temperament anyway.
Mr. Eastman?
Oh, yes. You'd be surprised. He's highly nervous.
I never realized
that. Oh, yeah, he is. And you can know, in particular, at night, when he goes to bed, his arms are going, or his legs are going, just, twitchy-like, you know.
Hmm.
Yeah, he is. He's very highly nervous. And when something bothers him like that, he does it more than ever. And it used to be, I don't know, he's kind of got away from that now, but he used to chew his tongue.
Oh. Well, I just thought Mr. Eastman, when he lay down at night, he'd just go right off to sleep.
No, he's very twitchy.
Hmm.
But I have noticed now for a couple of years now that he don't chew his tongue like he used to. So he has got away from that habit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of glad of it, too. That used to worry me when he did that.
Well, these jobs, these little jobs, you think, won't take much time, but you just don't know how much time.
You don't know what you're going to run into when you go on one. That's right.
Like
sometimes it taxes him to get it figured out how he's going to do it. Some of these jobs, they look minor, but they're complicated when you get into them.
And he has to figure them out.
He has to figure them out.
That makes it sort of interesting in a way.
Yeah, well, that's what he likes.
Uh-huh.
You see, and he's not a man that can sit still and be quiet. Not very long. He gets fidgety. Unless he's sitting down reading the paper.
Uh-huh.
Now, if he's doing that, he concentrates on that paper, see? But just to sit, not him.
He's thinking about something.
Yeah, he's got something on his mind all the time.
Uh-huh.
But when he does want to drop off into a sound sleep, then he kind of quiets down. But when he first lays down, he's very twitchy. His arms especially, his arms and his fingers. He'll have his fingers going like this, you know. And even lots of times when he's just sitting down, his fingers will be twitchy. Yeah, you'd be surprised. He's very high tension.
Hmm. I always enjoy Mr. Eastman so much. And up there fixing that window, he turned around, he stopped, and he turned around to tell me about this freak accident that the car landed in the tree.
Yeah.
And he drew me a sort of a diagram of how that he was just interested in it.
Well, that was, from what he told me about it, that was really something to see. You see how he happened to tell, he didn't see that when it happened, but when he went down to the court, this man that he had to go with down there about that, he come along right shortly after it happened, this man did. And he see the car and everything was still there yet.
In the tree.
Yeah. And so they went down to the court the other day, where he showed Art and told him all about it. That's how Art happened to know about that one. Well, then yesterday, I think it was yesterday, he was telling me this morning that on that road, or I don't know, it wasn't on that same road, but on another road, that he seen a great big cloud of smoke. It was in the paper.
Yeah.
He showed the picture of that. Well, he said he seen the smoke and seen the flashers of the police car.
Uh huh.
Where that was.
But when he was there working, and then he just stopped just all of a sudden.
Well, he just happened to think about it.
And he just happened to think about it, and he just drew me a picture of it.
Yeah.
And it was right in his mind. He's always got something.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
You know, lots of times something will come up, and he won't think about it right away. Maybe it'll be 3-4 days. And then he'll suddenly think about it and tell me about it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And then other times he'll tell me right away, but then other times it'll run several days. It's just according to what's on his mind. See, if he's got something on his mind, well, you don't think about it, see?
Well, where he sees so many different people and does so many different things, see? And he watches.
Yeah.
Well, he had that, he was showing me how to make those knots in the window.
Oh, yeah, in the cord.
In the cord.
Yeah, it has to be a special kind of a knot
to
make it work.
To make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it once, and then he said, "Now I'll do it again, show you, so you'll know how to do it." And it's no problem for him to think about how to do it. But if I had to do it, I'd have to call him and ask him how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you do things like that. You can.
Well, I probably could if I tried to. But I don't run into that, see.
Uh-huh.
But there's a lot of things that I do myself around home there that I don't expect him to, unless there's something that I just can't handle. Then.
Well, I wondered if you couldn't do things around
there's
the
some
house.
Things that I do, yeah.
With Bon Soufe, we ought to have just a little orange juice before Mr. Eastman goes.
Okay.
I bought me a little